Oh, great to have your company this morning. Oh, there's a nice little buzz around town at the moment. All the greatest players, AFL players anyway, are here for the big game tomorrow night. Just before 8 o'clock, we started talking about Nathan Fyfe, and I'm just wondering whether we underappreciate his talents, probably because out of sight, out of mind. Hand high in the air, I don't see enough of the West Australian teams play live just because of the way the schedule works.
Why don't you do something about that rather than just talk about it? Why don't you do something
Well, what, Tim?
Well, maybe venture over to WA occasionally and watch a game.
That's exactly.
That'd be a good start.
I've just written that in my book, Tim.
You've still got that ambassadorial role for that new stadium over there. I've only been there once.
I'm going to go to the Derby.
Oh, you really?
I'm going to go to the Derby. Oh, no.
Have you requested that you work on the Derby?
It's a state game on the TV. We're going to lose.
We're
going to lose Wisp for the next hour. Lepper, Justin Lippich is in the studio. Just give me what year this is, Lepper, because otherwise it'll just be you and me for the next hour or so. Oh, welcome to you.
Good morning, guys. It's before my time, so it's probably about when you were playing, Gary.
He's definitely playing this game.
No,
that's
I'm
Paul.
Not.
That's Paul Bullis.
Paul Bullis.
Look at that hair.
Oh, this might that's be the end in. Of our radio show. Put a couple of replays on there. Very good of you to wander in today. It's a great thrill. We don't get to see you too often, but what are we, a couple of months or about a month out? How's life?
Oh, good. Everything's starting to crank up a little bit. You can tell footy's just about around the corner of the games because Barmy starts coming to match committee. Blair Hartley starts coming. And all the guys that they want to see in the team, they start piling in the match committee now. So
no chalky biscuits left now.
No donuts, which is bad diet for coaches.
It's a fascinating time for Richmond. And this is one of the great reasons or what thrills we've got you in here. I mean, you can judge where they're at. And everyone can say, oh, they've come back hungry and this and that and everything else. But you're seeing it day in, every single day, back-to-back premierships are as rare as rocking horse poo. And you've lived it and you've done it with your great Brisbane side, and Hawthorn did it. But gee whiz, they're hard to come by. So how do you rate where they're at right now, your group?
Oh, in a really good space. But we're probably this way 2 years ago and, you know, finish the season on top of the ladder. But as we know, that means nothing. The season is two seasons, so you can't answer that question now because it's how we go home and away and then build towards the back half. Feel like a horse racing term. You only win at the end. So, I think we learned some lessons in 2018 that finishing on top, we were probably, everyone was looking at us and studying us. And eventually, you know, by the end of that season, there was teams that were almost beating us, and then Collingwood eventually did. So you got to time your run nicely, I think.
Your depth is scary. I mean, we think about the Tigers now and we're just doing our homework and looking through it. It's a scary thing to see. Young players that haven't had a crack yet and older players who've only just sort of introduced themselves to AFL footy and where the upside is.
Yeah, I guess our it's a good concern to have is how to sort of fit Pickett, Stack, Ross, and even young Riley Collier Dawkins hasn't played a game yet. Noah Bolter, we put him consistently into the team. So there's a few of those guys that we feel are ready to play AFL footy that may miss out early. So it's going to be a really, it's probably a good thing there's six guys missing out Friday night so we can play the kids on Sunday. Let's hope it all works out in the end for them.
You were part of that successful period of time at the Brisbane Lions where you won three premierships in a row, almost four premierships in a row. Is there anything from that period of time that's applicable to today when you talk about teams staying up there year after year?
I don't think anything on the field is the same. It's completely
the way
different.
The game's
the
played.
Way the game's played. It's totally different. In fact, it would have probably suited me because everyone zones off a bit more than what they used to. But one thing that has, when you see a successful team, the actual interaction is the same. Whether it was 20 years ago when I played, or what you see with Shane Edwards and Trent Cotchin and Jack Riewoldt, how they interact, the respect for each other, the hard work they do on the field, and also the fun they have off it. I think that part of it's very similar, but the game stuff is completely opposite.
Did Lee make it fun though back in the day? When you remember back to your Brisbane Lions day, was fun a word that would come to mind?
We all know Lee's a fun guy. Don't we? No, he just, you know what he did well? He probably just let us run that part of it.
Right.
It's probably more celebrated by the coaches in the modern day, and we probably drive it a bit more, get involved a little bit more than what they used to back. And then maybe the odd assistant coach had come out. But you got to remember, when did three assistants come in? Maybe early 2000s. So it's not like it's, you know, it's been a lot where you've had this host of coaching as well.
So you get to this stage of the season then and you're preparing and you're looking after the back half still?
Yeah, back half.
So your pillar there is Alex Rance and you're thinking, gee, we're going to get him back. How good are we going? And we're trying to put all the bits around him. And then the news breaks. What was your first reaction to that?
Look, I knew for a while that, I knew for 4 years that he was thinking about doing this.
I said that to someone the other day. He first floated that 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember having a conversation in my lounge room in Brisbane. He didn't know whether to quit the game, move to back to Perth, come back, try something new in Brisbane, or stay at Richmond. Or he really was confused on what he wanted to do with his life more than anything. So this isn't a new conversation at all. For Alex, so most important thing is he's happy and healthy, and he seems to be that. So I can't see anything changing anytime soon.
So then, how do you have you got a someone in mind? Do you think, or is it about a back six?
I guess the beauty is he was missing since round one, but we're able to fix that problem probably last year with Dylan Grimes and adjusting a few things. So it's just whether. If footy always evolves, like it never stands still. So what the team you start the season with is not the team you finish. Like we added Sydney Stack last year and he came in and out, then Marlon at the end. So the teams always evolve. So you can never get fixed too much on what you think's going to happen will happen in the end.
Your team, do you think that's going to evolve again this season in terms of the way you play, or do you think you've found this formula of playing and you're just trying to perfect that?
I don't think you've ever found the formula, because it's games forever changing, and the way we defended at the front half of the year was completely different to the back half of the year. The guys in the industry would know that, and would
can
watch
you tell us? Can you give people an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I can. It's just pretty much where you put your numbers.
Right.
I mean, sometimes team load numbers in and try and get front half turnover. Other teams fold all the way back like basketball and try and defend from the back half. And we probably do a little bit different. We've got we probably change a little bit. From week to week at times, but where we put some of our lateral players. So without giving too much away, that sort of stuff we always have to tinker with, and that's where I say the game will evolve. Where you put your midfielders, do they all pile in or do they all pile out? It's the sort of thing that will always change, so you've got to continually be up to date.
Marlon Pickett, what can we expect from him this year, do you think?
Oh, he looks amazing.
Like amazing?
It's hard to think that. I thought he's probably got not much more in him, because he's 27, maybe he's 28 now. But just his first full AFL pre-season, we can focus only on his body and himself. He was probably one of our best in the trial game we had last week. But he plays like a player that hasn't been coached yet, which is a good thing, because there was one stoppage he ran out and he sort of screwed the ball over his shoulder to the opposite wing. Now, you don't really want to do that, but it's almost like Tom Brady sort of throwing the wide to the wide receiver.
Are you going to give him that license then?
Well, and the winger ran in and kicked the goal. So it was one of those things where what do you harness? What do you let go? So he's still got that that natural flair to his game. So we know he fits somewhere. It's just where.
That is a great conundrum. So you got this, not a kid, a 28-year-old that comes in who can do all those things, right? Do everything. And we debate this often about people say, Eddie Betts kicks miraculous goals. And I go, yeah, he does, but he has a go at them. I mean, there'd be maybe another 15 blokes in the comp that could do it, but they never do, because it would never occur to them to try and kick left foot banana being pushed to the boundary. They just kick it to the middle. So how much, Tim's point is fascinating. How much of that do you go, well, I don't want to coach that out of you, so we'll let you go. But then the rest of the team go, hang on a damn minute. I've been here for 8 years. I've never been allowed to do that. So how do you make that judgment?
It's a tough one. I mean, one thing Damien's really good at, and since I've been back, is making sure guys play to their strengths. So you don't want to, but you also don't want to go to the point where you've got 18 rogue players running around on their own. You don't have any structure at all. So always tinkering with their belts. I don't have an answer for you guys. But you're right. I mean, even back in the day, Lee used to let Acker kick goals from the boundary. He was the only one allowed to do it because he was actually good. He used to kick most of them, whereas not many others would. So you've got to let guys play to their strengths.
Barmy had the best answer when he was coaching us. He'd say, yeah, go for your life. Kick it.
Just kick it.
Yeah, if you don't, you want to go left foot boundary 55 metres out, do it. Make sure you kick it.
So he's amazing. He's looking amazing. Sydney Stack, how's he looking?
Yeah, he's
amazing.
Yeah, we've only had three guys in rehab, really, that's... You know, you say he's had not a perfect preseason. Toby Nankervis, one of them coming off his surgery, Jack Graham off his shoulder, and one of their rookies, Jake Arts, also had a bit of a long rehab. The rest have sort of had small stints in there. So it's we've got a relatively healthy list to start the season. So that's, and everyone knows that's crucial. When we had not a great healthy list at the front half of the year, back half of the year excellent, hence our form got a bit better too. So everything's got to be combined to play well.
With Justin Lepich, he's in the studio. We'll talk about some state footy and reminisce with him. You paid one?
One game, the last one.
You would have played more, but it stopped. But I want to get your thoughts on that because we're building up to a massive night tomorrow night. And the Richmond Footy Club are well represented, so I'll get your thoughts on that as well. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. Justin Lepich in the studio. Got Justin Lepich in the studio with us. He played the one state game in 99. We want to get his thoughts on that. Right now there's one being played on Fox Footy. Is that, say, 1993 up there?
No, it's 1994, I think.
Is it? No, yeah. It says 1993, doesn't it? Under the Fox emblem? Yep. Anyway, Justin Lepich is here, and he's casting a very, very close eye over
us. Hang on a second. Welcome to my world, Justin. As soon as a game goes up on one of the TV screens here that Gary plays in, I lose him for the whole morning. Now, you've experienced it over the last couple of minutes. Just tell the people what goes on here.
Look, he's analysing himself very
well.
You're
in the ad break. You're allowed to have a look at it during the ad break.
He's playing back, which I don't remember those days. That would have been 14 maybe when that happened.
Very Justin Lepich-like in this game.
Given the detail that he could recall this game with, how many times do you reckon he's watched it over the years?
Well, he just said me just before off air, he said 16 possessions. one goal.
I don't think so.
Eight kicked on him.
I actually can't remember this one too much.
You've been giving some commentary around Paul Ruse and the role that he's playing in the state game. How would you describe it?
Well, he's in the number one Guernsey, which means he was a captain, and he's taken the captain's prerogative of not playing anywhere near an opponent. He's had about 30 touches. Lepo, you played the last one in
1999.
Against?
That was South Australia as well, yep.
What's
your
memory?
Wet game. Boomer Harvey kicked five. Boomer. It was the year he probably came of age as a player. Yeah. He was only maybe 19 or 20 himself.
EJ Witten medal.
He did. And a really wet day. There was hardly a stock 20. They were trying to revive it. Yep. And Melbourne put on one of its best at 9-degree type thing with rain and about 20,000 people. About all who could fit under the bottom under the stands turned up, and we won pretty easy in the end.
Are you disappointed that you weren't around when it was bigger than it became, obviously? Well,
yeah, I am now. Looking, when your career's over, you wish I'd spend more time in these types of things. I think one thing about our game, we don't sort of have that all-stars or state-type rivalry, things you can look back on and moments you can be proud of, apart from the, obviously, premierships are one thing, but more the individual things where you can link together. So it'd be good if that did happen. I think back in that era, coaches really took over. No, we don't really want to play them. That's sort of the era that guys were getting pulled out for you know, their local club reasons.
Yeah, we've talked about how seriously the Vics are going to be taking this game tomorrow night. Now, you see it close at hand with the coach, Damien Hardwick, obviously the coach of the Vic team. I mean, he's taking it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an exhibition game in his mind.
No, they want to win. I mean, I think one thing you'll find is the players themselves are just so competitive and they're coming up against the best. So there's no way. It's going to be very hard. So I was playing on Gary. It's going to be very hard to say, I can't just let this guy kick fix on me today, can I? Like, that mindset surely takes over.
And the legacy, this might be the last one. Who knows? Or the last, because it's an extraordinary circumstance. So that's exactly right. You don't want your legacy, the last legacy of state footy or playing for Victoria, having someone kick five on you or get belted. Who was in that team that was, there's always a pecking order, and we can all remember back to our very first time of representing, you know, Victoria or whoever, and you just were that nervous about doing anything wrong, and all you wanted to do was make sure you're in the right spot. Now, who in that group was sort of barking orders at you?
Well, David King was on the halfback. He was always good for advice. Even when I was playing against him, he was good for advice. But I've worked out even in your own team, he's good for advice as well. But Rowan Smith, though, those halfback flankers were good. They'd probably played four or five games. Yep. So that was really good. I was really nervous. I almost had jelly legs for the first
Who'd
half
you play
of the
on,
game.
Remember?
So I played on Warren Treadray. He was maybe his first game as well. He was maybe a year or two younger than me. So we're both probably in the same boat.
Just talking about the leg rope that Gary gave his direct opponent in his state of origin.
I just want to say this. You missed me very best bit of
You haven't, though. Just describe it. I saw your eyes glaze over there. But did Lee ever give you the license to sort of play a loose man in defence, or was he a stickler for you playing on the best forward?
No, I had to play on the best forward every week. But it used to give you the way you wanted to play it, I guess. You know, there was times where every player you play on in defence is different. And you know, nowadays you match up pretty much specifically on who it is, whether they're a gun or whether they suit your style. So I'd play on a Nick Riewoldt or Richo, they could run. Mm. I'm not a great runner. I was okay runner. Or you'd play in a medium type at times, and depending on who the opposition had. Now, so from 1 week you're playing a Barry Hall, who's a pretty tough type, maybe not a long runner. So you've got to keep adapting your style a bit. So every now and again I'd have to do things like let Riewoldt run to their halfback line to get a kick or Richo, because I just was stuffed. Yeah. And he used to say to me, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, at least if he looks up, he has to kick it back to me.
Yeah.
And he used to say, yeah, but it looks bad, you know. So that was, but nowadays guys do that. We do that deliberately nowadays.
Well, of course, but I mean, isn't that funny? So Lee Matthews is the greatest of all time in my mind, right? So, and is such a great coach, but what that doesn't make sense, right? You go, here's your great, you know, marker, read the play. Yeah. He's not a great runner. Therefore, if Nick Riewoldt wants to run,
let him go,
and I'll pick him off. But Lee says, no, it looks bad.
It looks bad, yeah. So, but I think I might have turned him around by the end. But
did anyone challenge Lee?
No, not directly in a serious way. But Darryl White used to say the odd thing in a meeting that was pretty funny. But not a lot. Lee was a pretty self-assured coach. We had a pretty good team. We're all on board. So it was a pretty good era.
Just to if we can digress a bit, front page.
I know why we've got Gary back, because they've gone to an ad during that.
Spot on. Front page, Herald Sun, Polly Farmer. And this story, we've been talking about concussions and the issues and how, you know, it's the biggest issue, I think, in footy anyway. You coached Justin Clark, another young man who's lost to footy as a result of this. What can you remember about all that and how it unfolded?
Oh, it was a really, it was a training incident. It was a really, really bad one to see live. So one of those ones that really rattle you. But I worry about it a little bit, because it's a bit of the unknown in footy. I'm sort of glad that we've put in more stringent things in, and I think it should go even further again.
To what degree?
Even guys that get concussions, I even find them next week, their form's no good. Like, just as you watch over time, so they don't even play well anyway the week after, because even if they feel like they're okay, they've got a bit of remnants of something there. They've had a hit. It's like a corky, you know. It might be only a week, but you've still got a little bit of something that's not quite right in you, so running well or whatever it is. So
thigh muscle compared to your brain muscle.
Exactly. So I hope there's more work done on it. There's a lot we don't know. You know, I think we're pretty good now at resting players when they get these things, but it'd be great to put in a bit more stricter stuff.
Well, just speaking of Peter Jess, and we've sort of done a bit of reading on this, the return to play protocol is the one right now. We understand it's difficult to diagnose. We understand that, you know, it's going to take time. But this, you know, some would say that it is a 4-week minimum. 28 days is the minimum before you should even think about it. Do you think, from a club land point of view, they'd be open to that?
Maybe. I think as coaches, we just do whatever the medical departments say. Our best interest is with the players. So if they say it's a month, it's a month. So one thing you will find, that you don't want to put it to a time that a player will start saying, you know, feigning things and not coming up front either. So it's got to be a happy balance between. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm glad for the long term we're thinking about it.
Hey, mate, we appreciate you coming in. It is, when it gets busy during the season, we know it's hard, but you're always good to us, and it's great to see you, and good luck for the Tigers.
Thanks, boys.
Good on.
Good luck with the rest of the game, Gaz.
Well, you go out there and watch this next half hour, will you? Give me a report. Open season at Kiwi, match winning deals, Australia's best 7-year warranty across the range. We'll be back after this.